Part of the subdivision, on the last page, you see where there's a road, an access road that goes through the property. And part of the agreement that the property owner has with the adjacent landowner is that half of the land is sold for this access.
That's weird.
That access agreement is required due to the cul-de-sac, the proposed cul-de-sac's length behind it. There's limits in how long a cul-de-sac can be from an intersection to the end of the cul-de-sac.
Is it a private or a public road?
It will be private only, public safety access.
And this whole lot is just an easement then for that?
Pretty much, yes.
So it wouldn't even be like a really heavily used road?
No, it would not be open, it would not be open to the public. It would only be used in emergency situations, and possibly not even in every emergency situation. However, what that access easement does to Bonnie's lot is makes it then a non-conforming lot, because there's an acre or a 0.8 acre requirement in the H1 zone that all lots that are developed under the H1 provision need to be at least 0.8 of an acre. Well, when this access road goes in, her lot will be probably about 0.5.
Five, yeah.
So can I get a point of clarification on the timeline?
Yes.
So Bonnie made her application for the 1 month subdivision.
Sure.
She gets full approval for conceptual site plan approval, and she's good to go.
It was the previous owner that did that.
Okay.
And then Bonnie bought it right away, right?
So she bought it with the vested rights. And at what point was this access road an issue?
From the approval.
So they knew it was there.
This was in the approving documents that the city council.
And so the city council and the commission approved this as is.
Yes. And so this is kind of a weird variance in that it's been approved by the city council, but it doesn't meet code in the future. We can see that. So there's some staff hesitations in that we know that it will create a non-conforming lot. So we want to attach a variance to it that will then explain to any future developer why they don't get the same provisions, if that makes any sense. So as you know, with variance, there's the state test of how a variance is granted. So if we can just go through that right now. Number one, with granting the variance, change the intended use of the property. The intended use of the property is single-family residential, it maintains its original use. Are there special circumstances attached to the property that do not generally apply to the properties in the same district? I do believe the answer to that is yes, in that it is already an approved subdivision. It's gone through the subdivision process. So when I think that as a landowner, there are certain expectations that when approvals have been given, that those approvals will be respected. I think that if there's a mistake on the city's part, I don't know that there necessarily was a mistake, but if there's a mistake, then the city needs to be the owner of that mistake, not necessarily the landowner.
Correct.
Three, do those circumstances, and two, cause an unreasonable hardship on the applicant denying use of the property that others in the same district endure that he or she has a right to expect? So if the intended use of the property is to build a single family home, and we're saying that she can't, given this possible restriction on the future size of the lot, then yes, I believe that there is an unreasonable hardship associated with the development of this property, that she cannot enjoy that property.
Sir, real quick, maybe I missed it. When did you say that this was recorded?
2010. It was approved in 2010.
So this says this property was purchased in 2009.
Her purchase date was the 29th of January 2010. That's when she bought it.
Okay.
I don't know why we put 2009.
Okay. The approval was a prior owner.
Oh, did
the approval had
so David Blake, the original owner.
So that's why I'm wondering when that was originally purchased.
So
with David Blake,
Cedar Hills, he was the original owner. He owns the land.
Oh, was it?
It too.
No.
So
we still don't know.
It was in the planning commission in December of 2009, and then the city council in January of 2010. That's why sometimes the year maybe will
right.
Get
okay.
Weird.
Okay.
So I do believe that there is a use of the property that the owner cannot enjoy that as a property. Four, is the variance essential to the substantial property right? If the substantial property right is the development of a single family home, then I would say the answer there is yes. Will the granting the variance substantially affect the goals of the general plan or be contrary to public interest? With that being the residential zone, and with the actual approved lot meeting the setbacks of the underlying zone, I don't believe it does. The only variance that we're seeking is from this the area width requirements from that zone. And then finally, is the spirit of the zoning ordinance observed, and is the board being fair to all involved? I think that's up to you. variance to the site. But unlike some board adjustment meetings we have where staff and the applicant don't see eye to eye on the proposal, this is one where I think the staff can get more behind the approval of the lot as is. The lot that's being shown shows a home that, as you can see, has the 50-foot setbacks for the H1 zone. I would suggest that when the subdivision does occur, when the subdivision does occur for that future public safety access, I would say that the that setback on the side is the kind of northwest side needs to be 50 feet as well.
50 feet from what?
From the foundation of the main building.
Okay, so from the
structure. That road.
So you're seeing
it's following
this. You're seeing a 50-foot setback here, 50-foot setback here, 50-foot setback here, and this one's obviously really big right now. But when the subdivision occurs, this needs to be 50 feet as well.
And there's nothing to do that.
There should be this.
According to the current plan, the applicants are
there's not a current design for the road other than what you see there, so it's not an engineered road that's locked in any way, shape, or form. So I think that there's a way to do that if the engineer just goes out and then shoots points on the slopes. It's a tricky slope there, getting through there.
So my only concern about this variance is we give the applicant approval of the variance, and then we don't put in some sort of safeguard.
That's what I'm wondering. Can you make it, because you can't put a subject to on a motion to approve, right? Here on the board?
Because if down the road someone who is not you or who's not any of us comes in and says, hey, we need this access road and encroaches on their 50-foot setback, then it's another non-conforming use.
And then it's another non-conforming use, and then obviously you come back to the board of adjustment. But right now we would say where the subdivision has not occurred, we would say build the home as is, and possibly cross that bridge when we get there. I would encourage the property owner to then at that point subdivide according to the setbacks that are required of the underlying zone. That would be the.
And is that something you'd be willing to do?
That's something we would prefer to do.
Just because I would not want to create a non-conforming lot here if we don't have to.
As long as the house can be built, that's our problem. Yeah, I think to subdivide it is a smart way to do that, and then just as long as the house can be built on that other side.
What do you think?
I think that makes a little more sense.
How can that house be built on that other side?
No, on the east.
Oh, okay.
So any questions I can answer?
So as I understand it, according to the code, it's the city of Hills Planning and Zoning Ordinance 10-4B-4, subpart A.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum lot area requirement is 0.8 acres.
Right.
And the variance we're requesting is to let that be a 0.5 acre for this lot.
Yes.
And that's the only variance.
As I've gone through the code there, there were some other possible concerns, but I don't believe that there. You have the minimum lot area. Right now it meets all the setbacks, and we'd like it to meet all the setbacks in the future when that subdivision occurs. The buildable area was the only other concern that we had.
In what section is that?
It's 1048. It says all buildings to be located on a buildable area. Each lot should contain at least one area of not less than 12,000 square feet that qualifies as a buildable area.
Yeah.
This is, this, I think there could be a variance needed to that as well, just given that it has that, it meets that now, but once the subdivision occurs, it's not going to meet that. But at that point, there's already a hole on it.
Yeah, but I hate to approve something and then
right.
Have a future board
so,
be like,
yes, so I think there could be the request of variance to that as well. Just because the way that we define buildable area in the code is a lot proportionate of possessing all of the following physical characteristics. The area contains no territory having a slope of 30% or greater. I haven't seen a slope study on this, but if you drive by the property, there's very steep slopes in the front.
Okay.
So it's really hard to determine where that is under 30.
Could it be graded in a way or engineered in a way to eliminate that issue?
It could.
And is that something you'd be willing to do?
I
don't know that we've cracked that out. We would definitely. We definitely try to look into
we'll just
how we
do
can
whatever
do
we need to do in order to, you know, we can't do anything right now. We're
so I tried to measure the top of the hill where it kind of crests out and then it goes to the back of the property line. And it came up to about 0.3 of an acre if you take that eastern half of the lot, which was, it's if I'm looking at the lot, it's pretty much this area here, right?
Okay.
So this home is about 3,200 square feet. It's close to 12,000. The slopes are really steep in the front. Each one of these dashed lines is five foot differential. So there's a steep grade in front of the level.
So that's a 20 foot fall?
Yeah.
We would be happy to do, you know, if we have to do that, I mean, in order to build on it, then we're not going to stop. We would be wasting everything. I mean, we bought the lot, and if we don't go forward with what you tell us we need to do.
I'm not an engineer, and so I'm going to rely on
It could be that as part of the site plan for a home, they demonstrate that they have a buildable area of 12,000 square feet through the grading process.
Can we put that as part of the motion now?
They would need that. That wouldn't need a variance though if they did that.
Right, but when we're approving the variance,
it would meet the code then at that point.
No, I think we just say subject to all the codes.
Okay.
Yeah, because to get it done, they would have to meet that.
Yeah, so at that point, they would be getting a variance from that code. Yeah. So it would be like almost scalping the top during that process. I actually think that you have the space right now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're developing an engineered site plan, you may have to play with that top crest and maybe level it out just a little bit, remove a little bit of dirt. Because anything under 30% is buildable area.
Yeah,
30%.
But
yeah.
That will happen as we go forward, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's all going to be there. So
yeah.
We want to do this now. So
I think the ultimate goal here is to get you to have the lot to be a buildable lot.
Okay.
So I still think that accomplished with it.
And also making it so that all codes are met and the city isn't held accountable because it sound like, you know, if they do X, Y, and Z and then it doesn't
right.
work out,
but
I just want to make sure that we're not liable for stuff like that as well.
So I'm sorry, on this we have a 3,200 square foot home that
mm-hmm.
you're saying would fit those codes, would fit those
yeah.
setbacks.
So the buildable area is
from what
is
you've
actually,
walked out.
I can show you, in my office what we're talking about, but the buildable area is not just where the home goes. It's any slope that's below 30%. So
okay.
It's kind of a weird thing because you can't build in all of that area. It's
mm-hmm.
it's kind of where would you want to?
Nor
would you want to.
No,
so it's kind of a bad way to describe a buildable area. And this is the only zone that has that buildable area requirement because it's on the hillside.
Mm-hmm.
So we can measure that out. And it could already not be an issue. It's close, but it's I think you're fine.
Okay.
I would just like to make a statement, if I might. The thing I want, I'm a builder. I build on local areas. I want to just make sure you have your eyes wide open. Assuming we approve this application for a variance, it is possible that there may be another issue that you haven't researched regarding the code that may affect your design.
Okay.
And I don't want you to come back and say, hey, wait a second,
yeah.
We went to the Board of Adjustment
yeah.
about this variance and nothing else was brought up. The only thing we're deciding today is the variance.
Okay.
Okay,
and
so
we had to create the design so it would match
correct.
The variance.
Yeah.
Right. Not come up with the design and say, okay, we want to do it, now we can't do it.
Yeah, so we're saying you can build a home in this approved location.
So
knowing that the lot will be less than an acre at a future date.
Correct.
Further on in the code, it does have an approval procedure requirements. This is my notes for 10-4-D-11. That at some point, when the home plans are submitted to the city, there would need to be a geotech report submitted with it. So they just have to show a soil sample showing what the structural stability of that.
And what's that called?
A geotechnical report.
And I can tell you from experience, building on that side of the mountain, you're going to want the geotech.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
And anybody
you.
Buying a home over here always asks for a geotech report.
And you would
actually
have to put in geopiers.
And these are all
that's
engineer takes care of these.
Yeah,
correct.
Yes, and so that's still according to the code. So there's no variance to the code on that provision as well. So whoever builds the home there will need to provide a geotech report to go with that lot.
Okay.
As well as the grading drainage plan, which is typical for any subdivision. Engineering development report. I mean, that's pretty normal stuff. So we're not asking for a variance from any of the procedure for approval procedures. Just the setbacks. The utility requirements is going to be the same. The main building is going to meet the setbacks. The dwelling is going to be big enough. It's not. We're not asking for a variance to the height, nor from the buildable area.
And where we're right now, not in an HOA or anything like that, it's okay because the homes around it are large. Right.
Well, they're not even an HOA, too.
Right, okay, okay, so we're
there's
okay.
There's nothing to worry about
okay.
there. No.
Okay.
Access requirements are already fronts upon a city street, so really the only thing that we're looking at is that lot size.
Oh, sure. Was there any public comment?
No. Okay. So, I mean, can we just have a little discussion here? So ask questions?
Absolutely. Okay.
Do we need a leaf or anything?
No.
Oh, okay. No,
it's fine. You're okay.
Okay.
Just fundamentally, from my perspective, when you buy a piece of dirt, you're buying it as is with all of the approvals and land use rights in place. And if it were me, and I was buying a piece of land that is the city of a stamp of approval saying, hey, you can do this, and then this came up, there's something fundamentally wrong about that. Seeing as how it meets all of the litmus tests for state law underneath, it's not going to cause the city hardship. Unless you guys can point something out that I'm missing, I would be my inclination to approve this.
I agree.
Yeah, I had asked Chandler my questions. And I think he answered them fine. So, yeah, there is further discussion. Have a motion made unless we want to wait for Chandler to get in here. Was he grabbing something?
He's going to grab his computer.
Oh, okay.
It may not be necessary, though. Madam Chair, I motion that we approve this variance.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, motion.
Is he
going to be here?
Raise was not approved.
the building area, as I'm looking at an aerial image of that lot, you can kind of see where it crests out,
and you start seeing the
native vegetation.
Yeah.
As you take that line and you take about half that lot, so basically, like I kind of drew on this map, about this portion right here in this blue square, it's about 0.3 of an acre, which is 13,000 square feet. So I think not the buildable area, but you're fine.
But do all
we
your
can
homework.
Put the driveway though
do
on
do
this,
all that you need
the
to don't
park.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
don't
you need
a, right.
You need to adjourn.
Oh, yeah, do a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
And I second the motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Meeting is closed.
So a driveway doesn't.